Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to Bread for the Journey Radio. We've got a stimulating show for you today that shows us, once again, the power of individuals to change the world for the better. I watched the news this morning to hear once again the repetition of stories about shootings and kidnappings, and under the heading of breaking news, repetitive and insignificant details of like week-old stories and a whole lot of fear-mongering about what might be around the corner. And I couldn't help but feel sad about the way in which we waste our creative energies by bypassing exciting stories of human innovation and the effort of everyday people creating solutions to the real problems our society faces. So I was thinking, you know, we're doing our part here at Bread for the Journey Radio to bring you news that feels like real breaking news. You know, the news that not only informs us, but it inspires us and it brings forth our generous nature. We feature stories about the generosity of spirit that's alive and shining in people all across the nation. And it makes us want to do the same. You know, it makes us want to reach down into the better parts of our own nature and find what's there that we alone and together came here to do. Our guests today work in the field of nourishment, and by that I mean food, but so much more. You know, 50 million people in America go hungry every day. Food insecurity has become a national epidemic, whether people realize it or not. You know, hunger is a perplexing problem in this, you know, the richest nation on earth. You know, we know it's not a problem of production. There's enough food to go around. One part of the solution has to do with distribution. And my guests, Nick Papadopoulos and Susie Grady, have figured out a way to solve some of the problems that even our elected officials cannot or will not solve. But before I bring them on the air, I'd like to say a couple of words about Bread for the Journey so you know who we are that's broadcasting this radio show. We're a nonprofit organization whose vision is to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. We're idealists and pragmatists at the same time. And that vision is a lofty one, to nurture the seed of generosity in every human heart. We believe that true and collective generosity is nothing less than the one gesture that can save us. That's our idealist part. The pragmatist in us does some very practical things. We find people who are passionate and excited about improving the community in which they live, and we help them form a giving circle so that they can give micro grants to a wide range of people who make the community a better place to live. We've been around for 25 years with a proven track record and a vibrant community of people who are nurturing the spirit of generosity in their hearts and those of the people with whom they live in close proximity. So if you'd like to join us, please go to breadforthejourney.org. You can start a chapter or make a donation. We could really use your help, and we'd love your companionship. So now I'd like to introduce you to our guests, one of whom is a recipient of a Bread for the Journey of Sonoma County grant. Petaluma Bounty Hunters is a play on words and the name of an organization that harvests, collects, and redistributes over 70,000 pounds of produce and food each year that would otherwise go to waste. Susie Grady is the program director there and the previous Bounty Farm manager. She has 8 years of experience in building community around food access, gardening, and food system collaboration. She's trained as a farmer at UC Santa Cruz and is a certified permaculturist and taught organic gardening and nutrition at a school garden program in San Francisco. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here as well. And our second guest is Nick Papadopoulos. He's the general manager of Bloomfield Farms and the co-founder of CropMobster.com. CropMobster has created an online platform and hub in which local farms, ranches, and other food sellers can announce offers of discounted or donated or free food at risk of going to waste. Within hours, individuals and hunger relief organizations and businesses can crowdsource to take advantage of the offers and enjoy healthy food, all while supporting local farms and food sellers. They began in Sonoma County in March of 2013 and have spread very quickly to 7 Bay Area counties. Welcome, Nick. We're glad you're here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on the program with you today.
Thanks. Thanks. So let's begin with you, Susie. You know, in the process of researching for this show, I came across a word called gleaning. And in my talks with you, the word came up a couple of times. And I think it's a word that the general public hasn't become so accustomed to that it's become an everyday word like it is in the people that are in your field. So can you tell us a little bit about what gleaning is?
Sure. Well, first of all, gleaning is a practice of taking the seconds from the field after the farmer has gone through and done their harvest and then redistribute those extra produce to people that are in need. And the term gleaning is in the Bible. This is a age-old practice where farmers open their fields up to people in need in their community after they were done harvesting. So it's a long-held practice that maybe we're not familiar with the term, but it's been going on for a long time.
That's great. I like, you know, I have a thing about jargon. You know, people use words in their field. We become accustomed to them. And I just wanted to touch on that before we really began the show, because I knew it would come up and I wanted people to understand what it really meant. So thank you. I appreciate it. Why don't you tell us just, Nick, I'll bring you on in just a second, but since I started with Susie, why don't you say a few words about what Petaluma Bounty Hunters is doing today?
Sure, and just to clarify, the name of the organization is Petaluma Bounty, and we have the Bounty Hunters Program, which is the gleaning effort that is driven by volunteers in our community that go out and take the food that is going to go to waste and redistribute it to our partners, social service agencies that deliver or provide food and meals to people in need, low-income families and seniors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm sorry for making that mistake. We gave you a grant and we've been using that name, Petaluma Bounty Hunters, around the office a lot. So I apologize for having made that mistake.
Not at all. Bounty Hunters is a big part of what we do. And then if it's okay to share the other initiatives at this point, too?
Yes, please do. Please do.
Okay. We also have supported the construction of 9 community gardens with the help and support of skilled and trained people in the field of landscaping. And now those folks are mentoring other people to construct their own gardens here in the community as a way to create more opportunities for people who want to garden that live in apartments or don't otherwise have access to gardening space. So that's our community gardens program. And then we have an educational production farm in the heart of Petaluma. It's about 2.5 acres where we teach students and interns, volunteers, about sustainable agriculture practices. And it allows visitors and patients from the local community clinic to learn and reconnect with their food source. We also host a summer job training program for at-risk youth. And it creates a unique community space where people can grow beautiful chemical-free produce in community for community. And then the last thing that we do is we partner with health and wellness agencies to promote healthy food as the best medicine to preventing diet-related illnesses such as diabetes and high blood pressure, obesity, and cholesterol. So those are our main main initiatives, all around the idea of providing healthy food for everyone in our community.
So we're going to, over the course of this interview, go into each one of those and have an opportunity to talk about them. But thanks for giving us first an overview of the broad range of things that Petaluma Bounty does. Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome.
So, Nick, your work at Bloomfield Farms and at Crop Mobster. Why don't you start? You can tell us a little bit about Crop Mobster, what it is and what you do.
Sure thing. We were inspired to create Crop Mobster after about a year ago I started work on my family's farm and working throughout the food supply system, grocers, distributors, and others. And no matter how much we tried to grow our sales and gain new customers, there was always this darker area of our farm where we couldn't sell or distribute or find a home for all of the food we produce. I saw a lot of food go to the chickens or to the compost and not to people. And that inspired me and my small team to create CropMobster.com. And what we do is a simple community platform that allows anyone with food, such as a farm or ranch or grocer, to publish urgent and compelling alerts that get broadcast throughout the community to individuals looking for a deal, nonprofits like Susie's group looking for gleanables or food donations, to school garden programs, so that we can find a way to mobilize as a community, a fun way to eliminate food waste, to better feed those in need, our neighbors in the community who are food insecure. And also, importantly, we've got over 50% of our farmers and small food businesses in our country losing money every year. So we're trying to create a marketplace and an exchange where these folks, maybe not, they might not be able to make a killing, but at least they'll be able to make more of a living off of this excess that usually is 100% loss. So that's a little bit about what we do at Crop Mobster.
Why don't you tell us a story about one such successful effort as a way to illustrate how this works?
Sure thing. I might say two, but real quickly, this last week was a very hard week for farms in Sonoma County due to the holidays. Everyone left. So we had a local farm, a legacy farm in Sonoma County called Laguna Farm. They had over $1,000 of premium sustainably grown produce that they had no home for, no customers. So we made an instant alert with them on Crop Mobster this Monday morning. I think it was over 400 pounds of food. And within 5 hours, after the community of nonprofits and small businesses and just everyday citizens saw the need, they came together in support of that farm and bought everything, granted at a great discount. The farm didn't make a killing, but they definitely recovered some of their costs and they built huge community along the way. So within 5 hours, thousands of people literally mobbed this opportunity in support of the farm and in support of getting a great deal. People who benefited were small food restaurants, local hunger relief groups, as well as the farm. So that's an example of a deal. Everyone won, and it was just a great story of community coming together in this situation. And then secondly, relates to Susie's group, Petaluma Bounty. One of our first actions as a community, because we're here really to support groups like Susie's and be a catalyst for further impact. We want to see next year maybe 70,000 pounds go to 100,000 or 200,000 pounds with our help. for her organization. They organized a gleaning at our farm, and our job was to support Petaluma Bounty and Bloomfield Farms in really getting the word out and mobilizing the community so that a few days later, we had a herd of motivated, like-minded community members coming out to the farm under the leadership of Petaluma Bounty Hunters to glean and fill up almost a half of a U-Haul truck with kale. We harvested about 1,000 pounds, and as a team, as a community, we were able to mobilize. And I think, Susie, we were able to reach 5 or 6 hunger relief groups that you serve within a day. And so those are two stories of impact where we're trying to prevent food waste, support and enhance the food security of people in our community, and help create new dollars and cost recovery for local farms and visibility. And we need to bring farms closer in as the bedrock of a sustainable community. And there's a lot of work to do in that regard, but we hope to chip in.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Those were perfect illustrations, a range of things that you do. We're going to be taking a break here in a minute. And so please, to our listening audience, stay with us. We're going to come back and we're going to go a little deeper with Susie and with Nick about how this impacts people in the community and alleviates, in addition to helping farms, alleviates hunger. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Michelle Kors 6 Degrees is your connected consciousness. 6 Degrees is what comes around, goes around radio. Committed to delivering a fresh perspective on thought-provoking, investigative information that can change your life. 6 Degrees connects you to the social and emotional scene and is your trusted advisor from finance to romance, mainstream to metaphysical. It's a positive, upbeat look at life, love, and the pursuit of passion. Get connected Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Adoption changes a family forever, for the adopters as well as the adoptees. There are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial, and the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking to Susie Grady of Petaluma Bounty and with Nick Papadopoulos of Crop Mobster. And so, as I said, I wanted to talk a little bit about food and health and hunger. You know, food insecurity is also a phrase that's tossed around a lot. And I learned in some of the researching that I'd done that food insecurity really doesn't just relate to the issue of not enough food to eat, but it also relates to how it is people can be actually even obese and be food secure. Because I guess since the middle 1980s, the cost for healthy natural foods that we grow has gone up, fruits and vegetables have gone up 40%, and the cost of pre-processed foods have gone down 40%. And so when someone with limited amount of money has to make a decision about buying food that's going to last and that's going to fill their kids' tummies and keep them, you know, full till the next meal comes around, they may be choosing foods that are not so healthy, that are processed foods. And so that's an issue of food insecurity as well. And so I think we're sort of trying to change this whole, when I think about, for example, you know, Petaluma Bounty and the whole way in which the full well-rounded way in which you're working in the community of Petaluma, I think about shifting that whole thing. So maybe, Susie, you can talk a little bit about your view on this, maybe the work that you're doing in, so I'd like to talk a little bit about the program that you're doing around obesity and some, the prevention work around good food.
Sure. So first off, I'd like to say that obesity and hunger are two sides, as you are saying, two sides of the same coin, which is malnutrition. And whether it's not enough food or too much highly processed food, low nutrient density food, people aren't getting enough fresh produce in their diets to maintain healthy lifestyles. And also, this is more than, from our research, we realize it's more than just about food choices, although that's one very important part of the formula to success, but we also need to talk about poverty and how poverty and food insecurity feed into diet-related diseases. So it touches on a lot of different factors, including neighborhood design and having safe places to play. I'll just list very briefly, and then the working poor often has less time to cook, and sometimes folks lack the knowledge of healthy preparation techniques and recipes. And so how that relates to the PLAY program, which stands for Petaluma Loves Active Youth, this is a partnership we have with Petaluma Health Center, our local community clinic. It's an 8-week session that engages the whole family unit to learn healthier cooking and nutrition, portion control and reading labels, fun ways to incorporate physical activity into their days. And then they come out to our farm, the Bounty Farm, to meet their farmer and to participate in the harvest and to really start to change their relationship to their food and the attitudes toward trying new and different things. Petaluma Bounty also provides all the produce to these families during that 8-week period so they can really focus on learning those skills and applying them. And then we support them to find other resources after the 8-week program to continue to improve their access to healthy food.
What an exciting way for people that don't have access to have an introduction. 8 weeks is a long time. And if you're being taught how to food, being taught about healthy foods, you're being taught how to shop, read labels, and you're getting fresh fruits and vegetables delivered, or do they come and pick them up for that entire 8-week period?
Yeah, they either pick them up at the farm or at the health clinic. So we make it as easy as possible for folks to do that. And then we get them in touch with other community resources so that they can continue that on, including community garden plots and other opportunities for them to start to build their own capacity and ability to feed themselves for the long term.
What an exciting program. Do you have any stories that you might be able to share with us, or a story that you might be able to share with us about a person or a family that has made a shift in their life as a result of this work?
Sure. Well, I'd like to share that most of our participants are between the ages of 5 and 15, along with their families, and we've had a lot of success in starting to see kids be more excited about the produce and the fruits and vegetables on their plates. And in fact, we've had to respond to what our participants said, and the kids now are doing role-playing exercises on asking their parents to buy more fresh produce.
To change their
purchasing habits, because the kids want to have more fruits and vegetables with their food. And so we keep in this process, it's a really community-building process. We have a conversation, and we say, what are your needs now? What? How can we help you, support you in this journey? And so it's really an exciting conversation to be a part of.
Oh, this sounds so great. And I imagine, Nick, that you've got some exposure to this as well as part of Bloomfield Farms and Crop Mobster, yes?
Definitely.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, I know it with Crop Mobster, there are individuals, I mean, there's hunger relief organizations that access your whatever is available that gets put up on posting. And there are individuals as well. Maybe you can talk a little bit about what kind of interactions you've had with both individuals as well as hunger relief organizations receiving your services.
Sounds good. I think I'll back up just one moment to hit on what you first said, which is you've seen in research that the price of fresh fruit and veggies has gone up 40%.
It's true.
Whatever time period you mentioned.
Right.
And that's a travesty for people who are interested in eating more fresh fruits and veggies. But at the same time, for local farmers struggling to make a living, it's important to get a premium. So we have this inherent conflict in the system that, it's very hard to find a resolution for. And what happens is it leaves people with limited means out of the local food movement. So put that aside for the second and consider one more fact with me for a moment. Guess how much fruit and veggies are wasted, uneaten in the United States each year? Just pick a number there, Mariana.
You're asking me how much?
Yeah, just take a guess, wild guess.
Well, I would just say millions of pounds. I don't know.
52% of all the fruits and veggies produced in North America are wasted.
Oh my God.
So we've got 40% price rise on the quote unquote good stuff. And yet we have all of this latent nutritional value just sitting there going uneaten. And if it's meant for people, but it goes to chickens or to the compost pile, I'm still defining that as waste. And at our farm, we see that as well. And at Crop Mobster, we want to make sure that that food, as much as possible, gets to people. So that's right. The big picture that I want to set up for you here. And then your question asked about how we're seeing individuals gain access to the produce and the other food that's posted on Crop Mobster. And I think I'll just tell you another story. About a month and a half ago, we had a community-minded citizen, Spring Maxfield, in Santa Rosa, California. She saw an alert for, 18 or 20 boxes of excess fruit and vegetables that had gone unsold at one of our farmers' markets. She took the lead as a Crop Mobster after she saw the alert, an individual citizen, and she came out to our farm. She filled her vehicle with the vegetables, and she went out there as a concerned citizen and distributed that food to, I believe, over 15 different families. And she counted the number of folks who were single parent, single mother households, and there was over 5, I believe. And so there's a situation where everyone won. Fruits and veggies that were at risk of going to waste to the chickens or the compost were able, through the helping hands of a concerned citizen, to be distributed to our community. People who might just be priced out, they have some money, but they're still priced out of the local food movement, which is still fairly elitist. And then folks who need help, who might be closer to the food insecure realm. They might live in a food desert and don't have access. We're seeing citizens roll up their sleeves as a movement to help distribute. And that's really inspiring to me. And that's what keeps our team going each and every day.
So if an individual listening to this wanted to do something similar, they just need to go to your website, cropmobster.com, and sign up to be a recipient of one of your emails so that they're on your list and they're starting to get these alerts, correct?
Yeah. People anywhere in the country can sign up for Crop Mobster via email to receive email alerts, Facebook or Twitter. Right now we're focused on the Bay Area counties, Sonoma County, Napa, Solano, et cetera. So there's not a lot of huge amount of value for folks who want to get veggies from Sonoma County if they live in Florida. So really it's the Bay Area, but we're seeking to build a rapid model to serve the need that we've seen, which is we've received a request from every state in the country, either from an elected official, a farmer, or a concerned citizen. Even mothers who are in the food insecure realm have emailed us and said, how can you help? So we have a strong sense of urgency, and we've received the request, and our goal is to bring this to every community in need.
You know, I was sort of amazed to see, Nick, that you had started in March of 2013 and you had expanded to 7 Bay Area counties in this short a period of time. So I began to see that it's actually a model that has the capacity to grow in big ways. Am I right about that?
Definitely. And
yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, so.
So you can't, you know, you've started, and in just these few months, you've already grown to 7 Bay Area counties. So what would it really take in your business for this to expand to, let's just say, the state of California? What's involved?
Well, there's a few things. One, in our number one goal, because we're not making any money right now other than the tips that farmers or communities, residents, leave us when they're inspired and they see the value we create. So firstly, we're looking to raise some money, and we're getting that figured out here. As you mentioned, we've grown very rapidly. And secondly, you know, there's the need, you know, to grow the technology and build a system that is relevant to local communities everywhere. So that imagine, you know, like you go to Craigslist right now, and Mariana, I believe you're in the Bay Area, you see Bay Area related Craigslist posts and you receive information that's relevant to you. And so we need to create a system like that so that someone in Florida, when they sign on, they're able to see what's available and what the issues are in their community. So that's going to take some resources, and that's what we're organizing to do. And then it's building a team. We really see this more than an online environment. We see this as an offline movement. We're looking to captivate the hearts and minds of citizens everywhere to get involved in this, to spread the word, to each find a way to help, whether that's leaving us a tip to help provide a little bread for our journey or by just plain spreading the word. We're looking to build the movement first. And if we can build that community and build that movement, we'll then be able to build a first-rate team of what we call campaign managers who we can launch into each community, not in an online way, but in a face-to-face way, building new linkages between hunger relief groups and farms, finding ways for individuals to hook into the system when they're in need, really building community. So I don't know. That's sort of the overview of where we're at, looking to build our organization, looking to refine our technology to handle the growth and the demand we've experienced, but most importantly, looking to create a movement and change the mindset countrywide, and we can do that right here with one phone call, that food waste is unacceptable, especially when we have so many people in need. So if we can do anything to impact as a group here on this call today, it's just challenging everyone to reach out to their communities and to raise awareness of the fact that we've got the food and ag business with, on average, 40% of edible food going to waste. And that is just a crisis. It's almost criminal. We need to, number one, change that mindset. And then if we do that, resources and tools and people will come together to get the job done.
Right. You know, this feels to me like such a perfect location for you to start. There are so many people in the tech industry here, and the people, often the young people that I see that are involved in that, are also really into really good, healthy foods. You know, when you see some of the even pictures of the kitchens, you know, in some of the places in Silicon Valley, they have these huge, you know, countertops filled with fresh organic vegetables and fruits that they're able to eat anytime during the day. And they're making smoothies as well in the work environment. It feels like a really nice marriage of the two that shouldn't be that hard to find. So to anybody who's listening, if you have any great ideas, or contact me or Nick, I'm at breadforthejourney.org. There's a dog in the background that is saying yes to this yes to this idea.
We have a dog on our team at Crop Mobster. Sorry about that.
That's all right. And or you can contact Nick at cropmobster.com. So we've got to take another break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us, talking to Susie Grady and Nick Papadopoulos. We'll be right back.
Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Listen for exclusive clips from Oprah's upcoming Super Soul Sunday series on Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Then be sure to watch Oprah's Super Soul Sunday on OWN Network TV at 11 a.m., 10 Central every Sunday.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here today talking to Susie Grady of Petaluma Bounty and Nick Papadopoulos of Crop Mobster. So, Susie, tell me a little bit about what it is that you really... We talked a little bit in the break about the possibility of the model that you're creating being something that can get replicated in other places. And I know that as you build the organization, you're thinking about that. You've got the bounty hunters at one part of this. You've got the farm at another part of this. You've got the work that you're doing with the community health clinic as another part of this. What are some of the visions that you have for your future, and what advice would you give to people about wanting to do something like this in their own community?
Sure. Well, our ultimate goal is to provide healthy food for everyone through building the capacity of our own community to respond to these needs. And as Nick mentioned before, a lot of that is about bringing the farmers to the table as well, because we have a lot of conversations with the consumers, but as a new farmer, I just wanted to state a lot of my farming colleagues qualify for a lot of the programs that we provide because mm-hmm. they are considered low income as well. Mm-hmm. So this is a really large issue that we're all working on a community level to respond to, and there's no one answer, and each community needs to develop programs that reflect the needs of what's going on in their community. But I definitely think that it's important to have some sort of gleaning program, because there are farms and institutions out there that have the abundance, but they don't know who needs it and how. And so at Petaluma Bounty, we have 2.5 staff members and about 200 unpaid staff, passionate volunteers that help make all this happen. And the network of support through the bounty hunters is really phenomenal. It engages the interfaith pantry, so people of faith, as well as the COTS Kitchen, the Senior Nutrition Center, Senior Housing. Those are some of the agencies that we support, but the volunteers connect the dots from the abundance to these agencies that serve people that are lacking the food. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so we're trying to get out on our website kind of a toolkit of these, pardon the pun, but the low-hanging fruit of the program that really make that, make a difference. So Bounty Hunter started in 2006, and since then we've redistributed 400,000 pounds of fresh produce and food, all volunteers. And that's around 800,000 servings of healthy food that would have otherwise gone to waste.
So that's an incredible statistic.
Yeah, and we don't see ourselves as eliminating the need for food banks and being the go-to source. We see ourselves as supplementing what the amazing work of Redwood Empire Food Bank is doing and other agencies, and we're improving that quality of food by tapping into the resources within our community.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. Do you, well, let me ask this. What's the most difficult aspect of the work you're doing? I see it as such inspirational work, and obviously 200 people who are volunteering their time, you know, people I well know working in an organization that also has 120 volunteers to two paid staff people. You volunteers come because they feel passionately about something, and they stay because that inspiration is somehow maintained. And so I think the work that you're really doing is inspirational work. And yet, just like in all organizations like us, like ours, nonprofits, we find ourselves doing things we really love doing and then doing things that are, we just have to be done. They're more difficult and they have to be done. What is the hardest aspect of the work that you that you're doing at Petaluma Bounty, Susie?
Well, I think one thing is, I mean, 200 volunteers sounds like a lot, but there's so much more food out there that's going to waste and so many more people in need. 200 volunteers is organization-wide. The Bounty Hunters program doesn't have that many active volunteers, and we could use a lot more volunteers. So that's one. And to be able to really continue, we could definitely increase the amount of food that we're collecting each year, which is, I think Nick mentioned, around 70,000 pounds at this point. And then, of course, the donating to this, because this is our passion, and it's really hard to say no to people in need. Hungry people in our community, sometimes we can't provide everything that is really needed in the community. And so it breaks my heart to turn people away at times. So we're trying to connect them to other resources. But if we had more sustained support, then we would be able to mobilize even more folks and really do a lot more good in our community. So I'd much rather spend my time serving than fundraising. And so if folks see potential in what we're doing and want to donate, I would be so grateful so that I could go back out to the field.
and do the work that you came here to do.
Exactly.
Right. So this issue... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say this issue of a fair of wages. You know, Nick, you had talked about, you know, the farm itself being able to be self-supportive and or having food that doesn't go to waste, and you try to recover at least some of the costs involved. And Susie, you mentioned something about that even farmers fitting in the category of people that qualify for assistance. And, you know, in the film that I saw recently, there was a lot about how all of this ties back into fair wages. And I'm not really sure that we all, you know, that we have any solutions to this whole problem. But I wonder, Nick, perhaps, if you have something to say and tell us about the life of a farmer and what it takes to really make a successful farm work and what they're contributing in time and effort and, you know, sweat and tears to bring healthy food to our table.
Yeah. If we had a day, I would just go on and on, but we don't. I've had the good fortune of supporting my family farm as they really worked hard over the last few years to become a viable business. And it is such a struggle. Like I mentioned earlier, over half of the small farms in our country lose money every year. So why is that? There are a lot of reasons. Some I have hints at knowing, some I don't. But first of all, we've got farmers who I think get into the business for the most part because they love what they do. They like nothing more than to get dirt under their nails and feed their neighbors, especially smaller local farms. And when you have a passion like that, there are a lot of other skills that maybe you don't have or you don't have in the time in the day to incorporate into your business. So sales and marketing, being able to really look at your business from a financial perspective. I believe there's a lot of room to improve the business acumen of farms and businesses. So you're seeing groups like Community Alliance with Family Farmers and Farms Reach and others stepping up to the plate to try to bring those skills into the farming community. But, you know, and then the other thing, I've worked in so many different communities and industries. There's one thing that separates farming from a lot of other lines of work, and that is you've got Mother Nature on your board of directors. And when nature is involved, it makes planning and getting organized even that much more of a challenge. So trying to factor that into the work that we're doing. And in our system, the reason why we're starting to see some progress and some impact, in 3 months we've been able to transform over 20 tons of food into servings for folks and put new dollars and new visibility into the bank and into the farms that have worked with us. We've got a program here which allows farms to more easily donate. So last year when we had 40 cases of broccoli and we're already working a 14-hour day, we just didn't have the time to get on the phone and find all the groups like Susie's and the food banks and others. I had one situation, 40 cases of broccoli, unsellable but still perfectly nutritious. 32 of them went to waste because after 4 hours of getting on the phone, when the broccoli was ready, none of the groups were ready or had the need or the capacity for that food. Susie, I wish we had each other's cell phones numbers back then. There's not a lot of time to be able to facilitate even donations. And so what I'm trying to do is create an incentive for farms and an easier way for them to really make a quick alert, say, hey, this is available. Instantly, it's broadcast to thousands. It can be a deal. And in that case, maybe a little bit of cost recovery happens. That, you know, making $100 on $600 worth of produce is really valuable, especially if you were losing all $600 before that. Every single situation that we publish, whether it's a farm or a ranch or a small business, getting back to the marketing piece, it's expensive to market. It takes a lot of skill. And most farms I'm seeing have especially younger, emerging, or disadvantaged farmers have a problem with that. So what we do with each and every post is we try to tell the story of the unique situation and valuable products that each farm produces so that when they offer a deal or a donation, hopefully that's taken successfully and helps contribute to the community. But that goodwill and that exposure, our goal is for that to lead to follow-up business and follow-up new friends and neighbors in the community. So we try to tell stories along the way to inspire people to take interest in the plight and the stories of each local business or nonprofit like Susie's to get further involved and invested in the food system.
If I could add to that too, I was really excited to learn about Crop Mobster because they offer that platform that farms and communities need in order to plug in. Just as Nick was saying, most farmers I know don't have the time to call and to connect and figure out who's who and who's available and who has the extra refrigeration room. But it creates that service for everyone to be able to go to and plug it in or receive an email alert and jump on it. And it's really fantastic for everyone involved. So I wanted to share that and add also, Nick, to what you were saying about the struggles of small farmers in order to make ends meet. As you and I have talked about, it's also part of the issue is even in Sonoma County, where there's so much emphasis and momentum around buying local and supporting local, I think I heard from the founder of Go Local that still local farms and businesses, food businesses, are getting about 1 to 2% of what we consume as a community. They're getting 1 to 2% of our money and our dollars compared to a lot of that food going out of the county. And so in some of the work that I'm trying to do, or I'm sorry, that the Food System Alliance, which is another group that is working on these issues, is trying to expand that piece of the pie to make it a lot bigger. And if small farms had a larger piece of what people are, where people are putting their dollars, then a lot more farms, small farms, would have a better chance of making a real living. So it's about consumers as well as the farms and the marketing. It's a pretty limited piece of the pie, and we need to, as a community, expand that, because our community is only as strong as our local farms and food system. So it's all connected, and it's all part of the conversation.
And so much of it is getting the word out about this, and it brings me right back to how I actually opened the show today, you know, having watched the news this morning and seeing how they recycle old news and create, you know, a lot of drama around breaking stories, and they give you morsels of information that aren't even breaking news at all. I mean, just imagine if our news people were paying attention to this subject and using a significant amount of time with every, even a small amount of time with every single show to address this and get the word out about, so that consumers, just the average consumers, were also informed on a regular basis. It begins to change the whole conversation. So we're running out of time today, and I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show, and I want to promise you that I'll do everything I can to get the word out about the work that you're doing, and you have my and everybody who's listening, let's all just put an effort towards changing the way what I will call changing the whole system of nourishment in our in our country and in the whole world. So thank you so much, Susie, and thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I would like to close, here we are at the end of our show, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.